You're listening to the Sound of Football podcast, a ride on the football fairground.
Is there an empowerful brand in football, and the idea of the Premier League's second biggest club, certainly one of their most iconic names going into administration, is not good for the league. But I mean, is it likely? I mean, can we imagine? I mean, the 9 points deduction, and
they haven't even got 9 points.
Conceivable, is it? Well, no. Indeed, they'd be worse than West Ham.
They'd be minus three. Yeah, even worse than West Ham.
That's exactly the kind of boost West Ham needs to get us off the bottom of the table.
Yay, we're not Liverpool.
Ah, there you are. Welcome indeed to another edition of the Sound of Football podcast with me, Chris Oakley, and I'm very pleased to say joining me as ever is Terry DeFellin and Graham Sidney. Welcome, Terry. Welcome, Graham.
Hello.
Hello, Chris.
Now then, first of all, an apology. If you're still waiting for last week's podcast, first bit of advice is you should get out more. But secondly, it never happened. And the reason it never happened is because, well, actually we did sit down to record it, but thanks to a technical glitch on my computer, we got to 2 minutes from the end and it all went out the window. We just lost the lot. So apologies if you missed us last week. But we're going to have another go this week. We, unbeknown to you, we were actually talking about Wayne Rooney, because frankly everybody else was. And it was kind of beneficial in a way that you didn't get to hear what we were saying, because we made a lot of rash statements and predictions. It's not like us, I know, but it all sort of turned out to be not only inaccurate, but frankly irrelevant. But we're back again a week later, and we can kind of take the whole thing into account, and we can sort of give you a more holistic view of things. So now that the whole Rooney thing is done and dusted, we think, unless he does another bloody U-turn in the next few days, we'll start off with you, Terry. I mean, Rooney obviously is now staying at Manchester United, and he loves Alex Ferguson and he loves the club and everything else. But first things first, where does this leave Wayne Rooney with regards to the Manchester United fans? Forget all the rabble, all your supporters of other clubs. What do you see will be the reaction with Man United fans, and how will it change over the coming weeks possibly?
Well, according to a poll on Sky Sports News, two-thirds of Manchester United fans are not ready to forgive Wayne Rooney for saying that he wanted to leave. I'm not quite sure where that leaves the other third. And I'm not quite sure about the phrase, ready to forgive. I don't know whether you or anyone else listening has heard Withnail and I, but there's a wonderful phrase there from Uncle Monty, who says, when he's attempting to seduce Paul McGann's character, he says, "I'm preparing myself to forgive you." And I've never been able to get that out of my head, that expression. And there's just this whole sort of slight kind of jilted lover kind of feeling about it. And of course the statement's somewhat loaded, because ready to forgive, and we will be at some point, but just not now. So would imagine
they still have some kind of influence on the situation.
Well, indeed, yes. Well, you would imagine that it'll be if they didn't even give Cristiano Ronaldo a hard time at all. He wasn't perhaps quite so obviously disloyal.
I mean,
he was pretty much there, and they didn't go, and they just welcomed him back. Well, not that he'd gone away, but they sort of welcomed him with open arms. I wonder whether there may be a sort of token boo. They'll be going boo, which will then shortly turn into a boo knee, and then everything will be and everything will be forgiven pretty quickly, especially if he starts playing well. Because that is the nature of things. And in fairness, that is the relationship between the supporter and the player. It is usually one of deference. Only when they start to become bad or they don't look like they're trying to see things change. But if he goes out there and he puts a shift in, then they'll love him soon enough. So I don't think there's an irreparable damage there with regards to himself and the fans. But it is probably worth saying that of all the relationships that he does have and will have at Manchester United, that's probably the least important.
I mean, I mean, obviously, just quickly going back to the whole Cristiano Ronaldo thing. I mean, I guess he was allowed to leave under sort of controlled circumstances, wasn't he? He intimated that he wanted to go, and he kind of, you know, said to, well, he and Alex Ferguson probably had a bit of a, sorry, Sir Alex Ferguson had a bit of a discussion, and he sort of said, well, okay, you know, you can go, but just sort of stick around. We'll sort of work this all out, and we'll let you go there. And so it was all kind of done in a very kind of, well, relatively gentlemanly way from what we can gather.
Cristiano Ronaldo spent most, or his people spent most of Euro 2008 agitating for a move. But what he didn't do was say, "Right, that's it, I'm off," which Wayne Rooney has done. So you know, there's got to be some cost for that. But in terms of the fans, to what extent that will be a lasting cost, I don't know. I don't.
I'm inclined to agree, Terry, in the sense that the memory of football fans is generally quite a short one, as can be witnessed by the number of Man U fans wearing yellow and, you know, green and gold scarves in the crowd. They kind of get a bit agitated for a while, but then it kind of, they get a bit bored of being angry and they kind of go back to, you know, like, even if he scores goals, as he, say if he comes back in and scores a few goals, I'm sure they'll all forget it quite happily, thank you very much. Graham, what part in all this have the media played in terms of sort of amplifying things and making things all the more sensational? When we mention Sky Sports News there, I hate to make the obvious connection. What do you make of the media's role in all of this?
I think it's been interesting to see how they've gone over the last couple of days since you know there was all this kiss and make up. I think, you know, everyone has played the media, and I think, you know, the what was perhaps the most shocking thing of last week was basically Ferguson seemingly defeated by the whole thing. the media has loved the idea of Ferguson, the guy who was in total control, the one who he doesn't whinge, he plays mind games, doesn't he, obviously.
Oh, yes.
And so he's very kind of very, very, very much in control of the situation, as it was. But here you had him basically defeated. You know, he was basically strung out by Rooney. And then 3 days later, you know, this guy, I mean, all he says is the door is always open to the lad, which basically means he can do what he damn well pleases. He can come, well, literally, he can come and go as he pleases. And in the end, Rooney and Stretford end up playing the club like an absolute banjo. And you see, and you know, the one of the biggest mantras they've always had at the club is that no player is bigger than the club, no man is bigger than the club. And then all of a sudden, that just gets torn down because this guy obviously is.
Oh yeah,
and I think it's been interesting over the last couple of days of how forgiving the press have actually been of Rooney over the last couple of days. Henry Winter was you know, jamming his thumb at the keyboard as he usually does and coming up with a load of old tripe. But he was basically sort of saying that, you know, all the best thing happened in the end. Everything sorted itself out and everything was fine. No, Henry, no, the best thing didn't happen because a lot of really, really, really horrible shit happened. And it took, and it's, well, it's basically taken a lot of respect out of the game. And it makes football look horrible. Really, really does. I mean, it was a horrible, horrible week. And, you know, yeah, the press filled a lot of column inches with it. But no one came out looking good. No one at all.
Indeed. The actions of a sort of divisive agent and a greedy player have shown football for what it is in this modern era, without wishing to sound too grumpy about these things.
But I think the most amazing thing was when they went round to the other managers' press conferences and got sound bites off nearly all of them. And obviously, like the Ian Holloway one was the one that's most repeated because, you know, he just took the opportunity to just basically point out how scummy the game is with good cause. Yes. It amazed me how many other ones just treated it as a big joke.
Mm.
And which is a good thing, which is what it was, really. I mean, like, you know, they were laughing at any chance of you signing club. Yeah, of course they are. Yeah, yeah, we'll get him along there. You know, you saw Red Knapp do it, you saw Wenger do it, you saw Di Matteo do it as well, and he's one. And you sort of think, I mean, we know football's panto. We know every time we see another story come up, it's, you know, oh, he's behind you. Look, oh, no, he isn't. Oh, yes, he is. And this was beyond panto. This was sort of like some horrible, sinister panto that you go there to see, and then all of a sudden they start getting chainsaws out, and you know, you realise it's French. I think the press want to try and make it. They want to try and calm this down as quickly as possible because they've suddenly realised that Man United may not be that good. And I know they won at the weekend, but. And I know they're unbeaten for the season, and they're unbeaten about 19, I think now. But they're really not that good at the moment. And I think there's a really good possibility that they may not finish top four. And if they don't finish top four and Liverpool don't finish top four, what does that mean for the Premier League?
Yeah, and indeed the fate of English clubs in Europe and so on in future.
Mm. It means the two biggest clubs in England don't qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah.
Which is quite serious.
That silence said it all, didn't it? That pause for effect.
I think the media maybe. I mean, certainly. I mean, the press will obviously have sold more newspapers and directed more traffic to their websites. So the whole thing is almost certainly would have had a short term financial boost, but it has rendered them somewhat foolish. In fact, anybody really who. Created and emitted wind over this period looks mildly foolish as a consequence. Because, you know, we'd all been led to believe that this was it. It was all over. There'd been this colossal breakdown and there was no way back. And when you make a living out of having the information and knowing the score and knowing what's going on in the inside... And then making bold pronouncements based on absolutely rock solid sources that something is going to happen, and then it doesn't happen. In fact, the complete opposite happens. Then you will inevitably look a little foolish. And so perhaps one of the reasons why they've chosen to sort of not so much gloss over it, perhaps to move on from it, is because they, you know, they're anxious not to draw attention to their own foibles. It's possible. That a number of number one journalists will harbour a degree of resentment because they're the guys with the reputations and they're the guys who are there to be shot at. They're the guys who are criticised by us bloggers and they're the guys who are also being looked to be deposed by younger and other journos working for them or other newspapers behind them. And it all makes them look a little bit silly. Mm. So there's that to consider as well. But on the whole, you know, I can imagine they probably feel, on the one hand, slightly embarrassed that they've been played, and they have been played, for a bunch of saps. But at the same time, you know, acknowledging that perhaps this is just the way things go.
Hmm. Mm. As you say, it's, all this has generated plenty of material for them to write about, and I suppose they'll be feeling quite gutted now that it's all actually... sort of come to an end sooner than perhaps they'd thought. I mean, if he'd been off to whoever else, Chelsea, Real Madrid, you know, Man City, wherever, they'd have got a lot more mileage out of this, and it's all come shuddering to a shock halt, and they're probably thinking, oh, God, we've got to actually write about some football now, I suppose.
Can I just emphasise, as Graham was saying earlier, it's difficult to underestimate the level of contempt I personally feel for this whole thing. I find it a disgusting way to carry on. Particularly, I mean, I don't want to broaden things out, but it's been a really, really shitty week for an awful lot of people in this country. And these two have been behaving like a pair of wankers, frankly. And I don't think that anybody should give them any shrift whatsoever. And I must confess that I came out of the end of that and thinking... You know, football can just do one. I really, for these feelings do come along usually after England get knocked out of a World Cup. But I just thought, is this what football is? Because I mean, I'm not quite sure whether I really can deal with this. And obviously, you know, the feeling passes shortly thereafter. But it really is a despicable way to do business. A lot of people care about their football. They care very deeply for it. They spend a lot of money on it. And they deserve, frankly, they do deserve a lot more respect than just simply to be used as a negotiating tactic. And that's what they've done. They've gone public by scaring fans into thinking that this, you know, pretty apocalyptic thing is going to take place, when in fact all they were really trying to do was just to get a pay rise.
Yeah, just I to think screw it's a bit really, more money at them.
A really scummy thing to do, really classless. But then I guess that's Premier League football for you, isn't it?
Well, I was going to say it's ironic that when the news broke about Rooney getting his U-turn and signing on the dotted line again for Man United, of course it was on the same day as we heard that Portsmouth were teetering on the brink of, you know, liquidation, and you sort of think, well, there's something not quite right here,
yeah,
is there?
Yeah, that deal's been done, though, hasn't it? We were all played for saps. You know, we went through the whole of Friday thinking that Portsmouth were going to go under. And then, you know, the next day, no, everything's fine. Puh.
It's been an emotional roller coaster.
I know, exactly. Well, that was either, they didn't, you know, at least they had the courtesy to actually draw things to a close.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, a clearer case of oh, well, we work for Rooney, so why don't we do the same thing? I mean, this is exactly, I mean, I'm sorry to blow my own trumpet there, but having been through the experience with Crystal Palace in the summer, where again, the consortium of our club, who bought the club in the end of the administrator, said, that's it, the club's going to close down on Monday unless RBS do a deal. Hmm. And of course a deal was done. And I think back on that, I think, well, they probably just said that just to focus everyone's minds. I don't think that was necessarily going to happen. So, you know, there is precedent for that. Well, with a club and the existence of a football club, you can kind of understand if you get to a point where you know, the existence or not of a football club is on the brink, then you can imagine doing something pretty desperate, like going to the papers.
Yeah.
But for a contract negotiation, that's just base.
As well, yes. And basically to turn round and say this club is shit, which is what he did.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's just unbelievable.
The players aren't good enough. You know, I'm far too good for this club, and I'm going to go and find somewhere which more closely matches my ambitions. I think, well, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but
oh yeah,
yeah. Or at least I will until, you know, I'm made a better offer than the one that's on the table at the minute.
Yeah.
At the peak of all that, when all that was going on last week, I mean, I was sort of trying to get my head around, you know, who may be in the right and who may be in the wrong, argument and counter-argument, and, you know, sort of trying to get my head around all that stuff. And now I kind of look back at it and think there was probably very little, if anything, of any credibility that Wayne Rooney actually uttered in that whole period, or at least through his spokesman anyway, or through his agent. I mean, Sir Alex Ferguson didn't exactly sort of come out of it completely with his head held high. I mean, his kind of performance in that press conference, the Champions League press conference, was could have got him an Oscar or something.
But
I look back now and think, was there anything that Rooney said in all of that period that actually, you know, you sort of think, no, fair enough, you know, I totally understand what he was getting at? Because there's nothing, there's no shred of any sense to it all, really. As you say, it's the whole thing about wanting to move to a club that had more ambition. Oh no, staying here now for now, time being. Yeah, the players that were being signed, not good enough. Oh, it looks like you're going to be playing with them for a while. There's nothing you can kind of say that justifies his utterances over the last week or so. It's just, as I think, the worst thing is we're now lumbered with this bloke in English football for a while longer, and it's a bit of a shame, actually.
Well, I think you've seen the way he treats his marriage is how he treats relationships, so, you know, I don't think we should be at all surprised.
But yeah. Where does this leave Sir Alex, then? Because, I mean, to what extent was he party to all of this? I mean, that emotional press conference, was it an emotional press conference, or was it acting?
I think it was all part of the game. I mean, like, he looks like there is only one person in this club, and that's Wayne Rooney. I mean, like, you know, in the past, it was always a case of, like, you know, if you got too big for your boots, you're out the door. And there's lots of high profile names you can put down and say, right, okay, he got rid of them, you know, because, like, you know, he felt they were disruptive to the club, and, you know, now. They haven't. Now he said, oh, yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir. And I think it's taken his credibility, his credibility's in tatters, I think.
Absolutely. It's just he's kind of gone down in the estimations of a lot of people, I'm sure, for that, because he's no longer the big kind of the big cheese at the club. He can just sort of be, you know, have his strings pulled just on account of whether a player's wages aren't high enough. So he's yeah. And whether this now kind of brings forward, if he's, I don't know how much thinking he's done about all this, but whether it kind of brings forward his imminent retirement, I'm not quite sure. If I was in his position, I'd be thinking, blimey, well, that's me sort of done for, really. I'm not sure I've got much of a purpose left, apart from maybe trying to kind of deal with
well, yeah. I mean, United desperately need to win something this season from Ferguson's point of view, don't they, in order to re-establish. But it's hard to imagine that, certainly, I mean, his credibility outside of the club has been affected. Whether that has affected his credibility in the most important area, which is, of course, inside the club, is another matter. But I don't know. I mean, I think if it's difficult to make comparisons with your own life. But if our managers were undermined in such a way, I find it very difficult to think. So I would think I'd have trouble thinking anything other than quite less of them.
Absolutely.
If they were to be undermined in a vaguely similar circumstance.
Yeah.
You know, in such a public way, and then to be made certainly to look foolish, and out of touch with what's going on within his own football club. So I don't think it looks terribly good for him. I mean, it's not an irretrievable situation, and I mean, you know, what would be the ultimately foolish thing to do now would be to start making pronouncements about his future, but. It certainly would be reasonable to say that it casts his future, immediate future, into some doubt.
Of course, so the ironic sting in the tail of all this, now that he's got his hands on untold wealth, as if he wasn't earning enough money previously as it is that this probably writes another chapter in another book. I'm not sure if he's actually brought out his own autobiography yet, or whether he's just had books written for him by kind of ghostwriters or what, but I'm sure this will be a key chapter in any book he brings out imminently, so that'll get him a bit more money.
Yeah, of course,
the day I brought Old Trafford to its knees.
Yeah, that's right.
Serialised in the Sun, obviously.
Well, naturally, yeah.
Yes, indeed. yes, it's left everyone feeling a bit kind of bereft, really, of any kind of appetite for the game, unfortunately. I don't know kind of where we go on from this, really. I mean, any suggestions?
Well, I think you're right. You're right there, Chris. I mean, it does leave a very sour taste in everyone's mouth, and it's just. I think it's quite good that he's not actually playing at the moment. That, you know, obviously, like, you know, he says there's nothing wrong with his ankle, so why is he in Dubai? But
why is he in Dubai? Yeah.
Yeah. Why is he sitting on the bench waiting to? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's all. And of course, there is going to be a huge media circus in 3 weeks' time when his ankle magically heals. He's trying to push Hernandez out of the starting lineup.
Yeah. I suspect he won't be pushing him out any, you know, given his form just before he got injured or whatever it was. But it's going to take him a while to refine his form again. But
yeah, but he's got to start earning that £1 million a month now, isn't he? So
I just think it's. Sorry, go on, Karen.
Sorry, no, I was just saying that it sounds ridiculous, and that's what it is. It's just, you know, it's just ridiculous.
I just find it really staggering that he can. I mean, fair enough to kind of, if you want to earn higher wages, if you think you deserve it more, if you think you are a bigger player, shall we say, with all its implications on how it reflects back on your club, than was first, what shall we say, judged when he first joined Manchester United. Obviously, he's gone on to become a bigger star since then, and so on and so forth. But to think that you can actually negotiate better wages for yourself, and no matter whether you leave the club or decide to stay at the club, you think you can come out of it, oh, I've got my money and everything's all right with the world still. The impact that actually has on Man United fans, neutral fans and so on. I mean, how he can... Oh, no, I'm sure knowing the way things go, it probably will blow over in 6 to 8 weeks or something, and it'll, if not sooner. But you just think that his reputation is tarnished now. It's bad enough during the World Cup when he starts mouthing off to the cameras that were saying about being booed. I mean, blimey, I thought that was bad enough. But I just, He must be incredibly stupid or incredibly brave or something. I'm not quite sure what. Perhaps a mixture
The thing is as well now is you've got Man United. They haven't got a lot of money to splash around. They're still incredibly rich, and yes, they do. They can go still play in the transfer market, but not as much now. And they can't afford as much on their wages either, because they're paying basically for two players.
Cool, yeah. I'll say. The money that's been spent, yeah.
There just seems to be a progression of lines that seem to just get crossed. So in the professional game, in the Premier League and perhaps with England players, and generally whether it be personal stuff or financial stuff. And was it Ashley Cole almost crashing his car because he balked at a 10 grand a week pay rise, and things going on in the England camp, and the behaviour of players' attitudes towards fans, you know, the World Cup, and it's just, and you just wonder to what extent this is reaching a point where people will start to just very slowly just turn their back on the game. Mm. I mean, for people like us, we've followed it most of our lives, certainly all our adult lives, and it's very hard, and I can't imagine a world without it, but I mean, there'll be an awful lot of people who have, come to the game because of the Premier League. And if the Premier League starts to fail them for whatever reason, or if it just becomes tedious or stupid or daft or dishonourable or whatever the reason are, to what extent they will decide to turn their back on it. And yeah, especially if the knock-on effect is, as Graham's just alluded to, or alluded to quite strongly earlier on as well, is that if you've got Manchester United, Liverpool perhaps in decline, two of the biggest clubs, I mean, the world-famous clubs, not, performing at their best, then it's going to have an impact on the league. It's going to take away from the impact of the league. And there's just an element, to use a hackneyed phrase, but there is an element of fiddling while Rome burns about this whole thing.
Yeah.
I, for one, would be delighted because I absolutely hate the Premier League. But that's a narrow view, and I acknowledge that's an absolutely narrow and selfish view to have. It would not be good for the game in this country if the Premier League were to fail. It isn't terribly good for the football game in this country if the Premier League succeeds, but it just needs to sort of go along quite nicely, not, pissing anybody off and just producing good football matches. That's all we want, isn't it?
Yes.
Maybe we should just be content with that.
If Liverpool and Man U do sort of struggle this season, struggle to get into the Champions League for next season, so on and so forth, and everything starts to slide quite dramatically, as we're suggesting, you never know, may happen, one can easily foresee the Premier League desperately trying to scrabble around for some new ideas to reinvent the game in some way, dare I say it, the 39th game and God knows what else. And there's probably a whole Pandora's box of ideas waiting to come out.
They should do what they do in Big Brother, and they should bring back, old players from previous from previous seasons in.
Do you remember Leeds? They're coming back in.
Oh my God, it's Robbie Fowler. Oh my God, he's coming back in, and things like that.
Well, I think you're leading the way forward there, Terry. Can't get you a place on the Premier League board by the end of the week, then we've failed you, frankly, I think. Oh, dear. Well, I think we're looking at the old clock on the wall. I think we're rapidly running out of time. So, sorry we couldn't be a bit more positive about the whole Rooney thing, but let's be honest, there's very little to be positive about. I suggest we turn our attention towards other subjects for future weeks, gents, before we get completely depressed about the whole thing. Anyway, thanks very much for listening to this week's podcast. Anyway, hope you enjoyed it, and I hope we made up there for our week's absence. Don't forget, if you want to find more of our output, you can just toddle along to footballfairground.com. There you'll find Bundesliga podcasts, courtesy of Terry, and previews and all sorts. Jeux du jour, French football podcast from me. Football Americana from Chris Nee, lots of MLS stuff. It's all good stuff there, and plenty more besides as well. And there you'll also find our Sound of Football page too. So go along.
And the Onion Bag. Don't forget the Onion Bag.
And the Onion Bag, sorry. I suppose if
and
I
Fantasy
started,
Football
I should
go Agent.
Everything. Is there anything else? No, no, damn it.
Fantasy Football Agent is there as well.
Fantasy Football Agent.
Get involved.
There is Socrates. Just so much there. We've got too much on there. Too much.
We have actually got too much content. We're giving it away. Got so much of it.
Yeah, it's probably about time we started winning some awards, really, with all this stuff that we're doing. But then, you'd never guess we're trying to pad out to get to the full 30 minutes this week, would you?
Let's go in, shall we?
Anyway, thanks very much indeed for listening, as I say, and we hope you can join us again for another Sound of Football next week. But for now, from myself, from Terry and from Graham, it's a fond farewell. Goodbye.
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 The chaps would love to hear what you think. You can leave a comment on the website at footballfairground.com, or we have a Facebook fan page at facebook.com/soundoffootball. Alternatively, we're on Twitter at twitter.com/soundoffootball. Of course, I would not get out of bed for less than 3 million. Mind you, I did spend last night in a ditch.